भगवान बचाओ, इंडिया हैज डिस्कवर्ड इट्स फर्स्ट टू केसेस ऑफ ओमिक्रॉन वायरस, नाउ व्हाट विल हैपन? सो फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल डोंट पैनिक, बिकॉज दिस इज द सेम वायरस दैट वी बीन डीलिंग विद नाउ फॉर ऑलमोस्ट टू ईयर्स. ह्यूमन काइंड हैज लर्न टू डील विद द वायरस, इट हैज लर्न अ लॉट अबाउट द वायरस. सो दिस वायरस चेंजेस इट्स शेप, मे बी हैज डिफरेंट अवतार्स, और मे बी जस्ट चेंजेस इट्स डिस्गाइज, because most of the mutations that happen, as in the case of this new, the latest version that is Omicron, or the latest mutant that is Omicron, the changes take place, mutations take place mostly with the spike proteins on the outside. That's the reason I say that once there is a significant mutant, it basically means that the same virus has changed its garb or gone into a different disguise. Now this virus particularly seems to have gone through heavy mutations in its spike proteins, and we'll talk about that. But essentially, the virus is the same. So remember, first of all, let's take the leaf out of Shakespeare's book from Romeo and Juliet and repeat maybe his most quoted line. What's your name? A rose by any other name still smells as sweet. So we can apply the same principle to coronavirus. What's your name? A coronavirus with any Greek alphabet will kill a few of us all the same, and in fact as many of us as decide to be stupid, because nobody has invented a virus. Nature has not yet invented a virus that can go through our masks, right? Nothing. As of now, we have zero evidence that this virus will escape vaccine given protection. There is no evidence that this virus will go beyond a certain distance, or this virus will not be filtered out by HEPA filters and things like that in high risk areas. So ultimately the virus is the same, it's the same coronavirus. So first of all, from whatever I have read over the past 3 days, 4 days, I understand that there is no need to panic. This is not the second Delta as of now. We can only speak from knowledge that we have as of now. And I've watched, listened to, read a lot of stuff over the past 2 days. I know a lot of you have been asking me to talk about Omicron. And one reason I've been diffident, in fact, two reasons I've been diffident. One, of course, that we don't know enough, and scientists don't know enough. So we can't jump the gun and say, I know more than the scientists. Certainly we don't. And scientists are saying we need a couple of weeks to figure things out about this new mutant. So if they say a couple of weeks, that's actually a very short time in biological sciences. So give them that time before jumping to conclusions. And the second reason I'm diffident is that this is one of those seasons, that season is back when everybody, particularly everybody on social media and WhatsApp, is a virologist. So everybody seems to be knowing more about this mutant than any scientist. So what's the point of my talking about it? Nevertheless, I think this is now a serious enough issue. In India, a few cases have been found. So first of all, what does this virus tell us? Every significant mutant of the virus, if you find the first case in one country, within about three weeks, you will find cases of the same mutant in almost all the countries, or frankly, all the countries which have the capability of identifying a mutant or identifying a genome. Now, many countries may not have that capability. They may have to send their samples outside, or may have very limited capability. But any country which can identify the genome will have that variant. This spreads very fast. So this idea, oh, today 14 countries have spotted Omicron, today 16 countries, it will go everywhere. That happened with Alpha, that happened with Delta, that might happen with Omicron now. Now, so far, we have also seen that there's been a difference between, say, Alpha and Delta on lethality and also infectivity. So Delta was a lot more infectious. It was also a lot more lethal. It also sent a lot more people to hospital. But also remember, it taught us a lesson. And those lessons have to be again recalled. We have to reset our minds and remember those lessons. The biggest lesson is that while the virus may have been more lethal, one reason it killed a lot more people also is because it overwhelmed our medical system. It overwhelmed our health system. So when doctors are tired, when hospital beds are full, when medicines are in short supply, oxygen is in short supply, then fatalities, serious illness numbers go up. So the important thing is to keep all the precautions, not throw caution to the winds as we had done the last time by say about January, February. We had declared victory over the virus. Not like that. And that is what led to that large scale infection, which led to our already strained health system getting completely run down and completely collapsing under the impact. Now, hopefully we are wiser. Now, Omicron, what do we know about it? So I will share with you one wonderful podcast in the Babbage series, which talks about science on The Economist. So listen to that podcast. It's 28 minutes. It will be longer than this episode of Cut the Clutter. But if you really want to know more, listen to that podcast. I will also share with you a small article from Medium, which is a public resource from Medium. And it's an article, small article put together by UK Research and Innovation Foundation. And they've spoken to a professor, Sharon Peacock, who's a professor of public health and microbiology at Cambridge University. But she also heads UK government's COVID-19 Genomics UK Consortium, right? So that is where they compile scientific information from everywhere. And she's a real authority. So please read that also. Now, there are a few things which we know about this. First of all, this virus was identified first. I will not say it emerged in South Africa first, because now it seems that some of this was identified in Netherlands earlier. And remember, the Netherlands, that's Holland and South Africa, have a close connection, because a lot of people, a lot of white people in South Africa are of Dutch origin. And there's a lot of travel between the two countries. So first of all, don't blame a country. If anything, the entire world owes a debt of gratitude to South Africa, that their public health system is so robust, their scientific system is so robust, that they identified this mutant so early, and instead of not talking about it, keeping it like a family secret, as the Chinese may have done in Wuhan exactly 2 years ago, they didn't do it. They immediately notified the world. Unfortunately, they are being punished for it. Every country in the world is saying, oh, South Africa is the most high-risk country. South Africa, Botswana next door to it. So let's ban travels, etc. from there. But the fact is that they found this virus, this mutant, in a small, one of their smaller provinces called Gauteng, spelled with a G, G-A-U-T-E-N-G. That is the province that also includes South Africa's most important commercial city, their commercial capital, that is Johannesburg, and also their executive capital, that is Pretoria. So that is where these cases were found. And then data tells us that in no time, in less than 2 weeks, in fact, about 1.5 weeks, this mutant in that province has overwhelmed the Delta variant. Now, what does it mean? One, it means that it's a lot more infectious. Second, data so far tells us that it is not more lethal. But these are still early days, because this virus, if it really wants to give trouble to a human being, takes some time. It doesn't kill somebody immediately as a bullet might do. It takes its time. It's not a truck hitting you. We will not know definitively about its lethality for another couple of weeks. But the fact is, which is quite evident, that this is so much more infectious that it has now overwhelmed the Delta. So there is one more theory floating, but remember theory, right? And most theories that floated to do with coronavirus to begin with ultimately fell by the wayside. So there's a theory, and maybe there's some wishful thinking, that maybe it's a milder virus, but it's more infectious. So this will spread faster, and in the process, this will kill the Delta version, which is more lethal. We don't know. Don't count on it. Keep that mask on. Get yourself vaccinated if you haven't already done so and you've taken one shot. Take your second one as soon as possible. Now, Dr. Peacock explains that while we see mutations all the time, viruses mutate all the time, she says that this mutant or this version or this variant has 50 mutations, as many as 50 mutations. Of those, 30 are in the spike protein. Right? When that happens, it probably makes it easier for that spike protein to latch onto our bodies, to our healthy cells, and then replicate inside them. And also, it is possible, we have no evidence yet, it is possible that It aids in immune escape. What is immune escape? Our bodies have now been trained to deal with this coronavirus, either in most of the cases, either because we got infected earlier or because we've taken vaccinations. So those antibodies are there. They are trained to take on spike proteins of a certain kind of coronavirus or a range of coronaviruses. So has the spike protein got modified in such a way, or has it mutated in such a way that it can escape those antibodies? We don't know. So Dr. Peacock says that will need neutralization tests in the lab. Neutralization tests mean in a lab, in a biotechnology or a biology lab, where you then confront this virus with the kind of antibodies it's likely to encounter in a human body. And then to see whether those antibodies, whether they are given to us by prior infection or by vaccine or both of those, can they neutralize this virus or this mutant or not? That will take 2 more weeks. We don't know. So that is the science we know. Now, once again, I borrow this from the Economist science and technology editor, who says that there are 3 theories as to where this variant may have emerged from. One is that maybe this was already circulating widely in sub-Saharan Africa. This is something that evolved there. But because South Africa has such a good system, finally the South Africans caught it. That is one possibility. Second possibility is that maybe this was a virus trapped inside the body of a human being that was immune compromised, probably or likely an HIV victim. So an HIV victim gets this virus and keeps dealing with various kinds of antibodies in the system, and that body's antibodies in any case are very confused because they've been fighting the HIV situation. In that situation, this virus neither dies nor multiplies, but in order to want to survive, because everybody wants to survive, that is evolution. In order to want to survive in a body like that, this virus kept on furiously mutating and then produced this incredible new monster in that process. That seems the most likely possibility, but once again, we don't have the science for it. Frankly, we don't even have the science of which animal did this virus first jump from. Did it come from an animal or a lab? It's incredible that 2 years after the first cases were formally reported in China, scientists still haven't found a bat or an animal which might have been the primary or the secondary source of this virus, from where this may have come to human beings. It's quite a mysterious story, all of it. So we don't know. The third possibility is that maybe the virus now from human beings, the earlier virus, went back into an animal, another animal maybe, and then modified itself, mutated, and jumped back into human beings. But once again, there is no evidence. Right now, generally people are presuming, or people say there is greater likelihood of this having been harbored in an already immune compromised body and there having mutated furiously over time. In fact, this Economist science and technology editor uses an expression which I quite like. So I will borrow it from him and repeat it to you. He says that, look, it's a completely new virus can't emerge like this, right? He says, for example, evolution can change any organism into any organism, but a donkey will not turn into a whale in very quick time. It may happen maybe in billions and billions and billions of years, but it can't happen in very quick time. Whereas the viruses, because they are dealing with antibodies and they are getting exposed to all kinds of antibodies, they have to find their own survival mechanism. In that process, they go through changes. And maybe by this time, coronavirus has seen a lot of antibodies in various human bodies. And particularly if it's an immune compromised body, which is already under treatment, then maybe this virus has seen more antibodies. It's been exposed to more antibodies. And in the process, it's got more seasoned. That might be a layperson's way of describing mutations. Now, there is also plenty of scientific evidence to say that any virus variant, coronavirus variant, which may be more infectious than the earlier one, doesn't necessarily spread all over the world. So you see, for example, the gamma mutant or the mu mutant, one spread very quickly in Africa, in South Africa, in fact, and overwhelmed beta at that time. At that time, beta was the ruling virus. Delta came later. It overwhelmed beta, but did not go out of South Africa. It remained there. So there was some limitation in the virus itself, so it could not grow any further. Similarly, there was a mu version which spread in South America, but mostly remained confined to South America. In South America, it overwhelmed the beta variant, but did not spread out of South America. At the same time, Delta spread all over the world. So we don't know if the latest one, Omicron, will be like mu and gamma, or will it be like Delta? Jury is out on that one. Now, different people's immune systems also in different countries respond to a virus in different ways, because all of us already have been exposed to different kinds of viruses, different kinds of vaccines. In India, for example, there was a theory that because we are a high BCG vaccinated country, we will have something in our immune system to protect us from this virus. That turned out to be not quite right. But once again, if I listen to what scientists and experts are saying on Omicron across the world, they are saying, listen, you have to understand it. That's what Sharon Peacock also is saying, that we can measure the virus, right? We can study the virus, but we cannot measure people's immune systems. So we don't know how an individual's or a population's immune system will react to a mutant or a variant of the virus. These are things that we have to learn more about. Now, if you look at the data in South Africa, and I will run some graphics from Worldometer. If you look at the data from South Africa, the numbers in South Africa have gone up. They had gone down to 3,000-4,000 a day. They've come up to about 9,000 a day. So you can see, if you see the numbers going up, looks like alarming. Oh boy, it's now going up like that. But deaths haven't gone up. South Africa's deaths are still about 27, 28, 30 a day, which is a very significant fact, because at the peak, the death rates were very high. Also at the peak, daily cases had reached up to 26,000. South Africa is a very small population. It's only 6 crore people. After you've done looking at South Africa's graphics, see a couple more graphics, because they also teach us a lesson. Look at America. Look at Germany, look at France. As you look at each of these countries, you will find daily death figures are high. In America, it's 1600, 1500, 1700, like that. It's a lot of people who are dying. In Germany, you can see active cases have gone up like this, like a hockey stick now lately. In France also, they are going up. Deaths are going up. Now, why is that happening? In fact, Germany's active cases are now the highest ever. So why is that happening? That's happening because these are populations in which a lot of people are refusing to get vaccinated. They are refusing to wear masks. They are taking coronavirus to be a fake propaganda weapon. And in fact, they take pride in being stupid. So this virus, the most vulnerable members of humanity to this virus are those who take pride in being stupid. And that's why some of these richest countries and some of the countries with the best health systems are seeing the return of the virus and a lot of deaths and a lot of new cases. So here in conclusion are my 4 or 5 suggestions. Occasionally, I bring in some opinion also, but these are analytical suggestions. You can call them opinion if you so wish. Number one, India has to launch a renewed effort now, publicity, promotion, whatever, motivation, to get more people to get vaccinated. It's brilliant that by tomorrow or day after, 90% of our adult population would have had at least one shot. And more than already had 2 shots, more than 50% adult population, not all population, which is brilliant. The numbers going up every day. But still, say about 20 crore adult Indians haven't had even one shot. That has to be rectified very quickly. Today's rate of about 20-25 lakhs of first shots and about 50-55 lakhs of second shots is too slow. More people have to get that first shot in, and more people have to get that second shot in quickly. People should not be reluctant. So once again, you have to promote this very strongly, that one thing this virus doesn't forgive is complacency, because if you are complacent, it will punish you again. Second, India is now producing so many vaccines, so much vaccine in volume, and has so much vaccine surplus that India should now open exports. Because you know what? Once again, what Omicron has taught us is that something can come up in the Netherlands or South Africa and then overwhelm the entire world. I hope it doesn't do it, but it can do it. Which means this virus travels in a world without borders. This virus does not need visas or passports or anything. Anything that happens in one case will happen elsewhere. So it is in every country's interest, including in India's interest, that more and more people in the rest of the world are vaccinated, particularly in Africa, which has the smallest population of vaccinated people as yet. And they are depending on vaccines made in India. So India should now liberalize, open up the export of vaccines and also testing kits. India is producing a surplus of both of those. Number three, time might have come for Government of India to not dilly-dally over the question of booster shots in India, particularly for those who are immune compromised or who are more than 60 years old, because there is no point risking it. Even in Britain now, anybody who's taken even the AstraZeneca vaccine, everybody over 40 is being advised a third shot, a booster shot. So Government of India should not be lazy about it. India does not have that many people over the age of 60. India is a young population. So at least get people above that age group to get their booster shot. That, God forbid, if this variant spreads more widely, will prevent your hospital systems from getting overwhelmed again, because it is the older people or people with comorbidities who tend to fall more seriously ill. So the boosters is an idea whose time has come. And finally, I know there's a lot of debate about giving it to children or not children, but you don't have to start with 3-year-olds or 4-year-olds or 5-year-olds. That threshold of 18, if you just reduced it from 18 to 16, we are a young country, a lot more people will have the shots in their arms. And when that happens, their families will be better protected and more of Indians will then be vaccinated. So the time to think about all that is now. So there are some things India is not short of. One is vaccines. India has more than enough. Second is the ability, logistical ability to distribute them and to inject people. And third is the availability of a very large, very widespread media, which is quite willing and quite open-minded to spread the message.